Hey, podcasters, welcome to today's show where, look, we discussed, I watched Married at First Sight for the first time and that will never happen again.
You've been talking about it for how many weeks now? Like 10, oh, is that, 6, something
I'm
like that?
I'm such a professional. Do you know, I never watched the Winter Olympics. I never watched Married at First Sight, but you wouldn't know by hearing me on air.
Talk about it like a pro, like you were there, nah, like you were in the room.
Wouldn't have thought so. We had Shannon Nolan.
We did have Shannon Nolan. I would like to, everyone needs to go to, I think it's tvweek.com.au and do your Logies voting. tvweeklogieawards.com.au and vote for Grant. Oh. I've already voted.
Thank you, mate.
Yep, Kimmy.
Everyone in the room voted. Yeah.
Producers, everybody.
How many times nominated for gold?
For gold, 3.
And how many times have you been nominated for a Logie?
6.
And how many have you won?
0. Oh, well, the show won one, but
no,
I didn't.
No, it's solo. That's
not mine,
don't
is
worry,
it?
Don't worry, you've got 2 campaign managers here wrestling for control.
Stop it, you guys.
It's going to happen this year. And it's on the Gold Coast. You'll stay Gold Coast.
You can't win it without a campaign.
I'm picking
these
your
days.
Outfit.
Are you really?
Yeah.
What's your inspo?
Don't even worry.
Okay, cool. You got me covered.
Amazing.
This is not going to be frightening
it's
at all.
Be so good. Guys, go and Google a company called Oppo Suit and you'll see where I'm heading with this.
Oh, Jesus.
It's going to be amazing.
What a suit?
Yeah.
There's a suit in it. It's a normal suit.
It's good.
It's great.
If it's Rusciana, there's nothing normal about that suit.
I don't even know what you're inferring.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Shannon Nolan talk about his cock and balls, and we had lots of fun things. We started a Speedo war with the Bondi Rescue guys. You knew that.
Yeah, look, the lifesavers and the lifeguards
hate each other.
Are at a secret war.
They're like bloggers and writers.
Yeah.
And the lifeguards are the writers and the lifesavers are the bloggers.
It's a great way of putting
it. They're the nurses and doctors of the world. That was interesting. Have a good time. Bye. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Love you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right now, showtime. Are you ready? Are you ready for start time?
Let's find out. Ready, set, go.
Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed.
6:02. Good morning, you two.
Morning, idiots.
Hello.
Who was that directed at?
Both of you.
It was idiots plural at the end, so I guess we've both been sprayed with that
cannon. Oh, no,
You okay?
I can never find a pen in this joint, and this is a multi-million-dollar company.
Do you know?
And you have to bring your own.
I BYO, and so does Grant.
I got mine from Channel 10. Mine's an RPM pen.
I just steal from desks here now.
But I do.
And it set me off. Isn't it funny? The tiniest little thing is like, oh, for God's sake, I just need a pen.
A pen.
Now my whole day's ruined.
Well, let's see if we can get it back on track with some delicious content. The Dave Hughes experiment continues today as we give away the money in his wallet. I hope he's going to the ATM, the cheap bugger.
He will.
Australia's biggest prize giveaway.
I think that he does now specially go to ATM knowing he's coming to see us.
I think he might as well. Yeah. I think if I know him, and
me
I
too.
Do, I'm pretty sure.
I think the Maybach that he arrives in gives it away.
Oh, good reference. Good expensive car reference. Maybachs. Right. You see, hear about them in rap videos.
You do.
A lot. Shannon Noll is calling.
Yes, the real, and it's not you going into another room and rapping. Shannon Noll, sadly, has finished runner-up again on a Channel 10 reality TV show. Sadly, they did not drop in Guy Sebastian, as I suggested, as an intruder at the last minute.
That'd have been funny.
Would have been great.
It would have been good if he was up for contention and actually just stole the win away from him. But I feel for poor Shannon. You're not 2 from 2.
No, I'm interested to know what, because it rehabilitates careers.
Please, you know he announced his tour.
Oh, did he?
Well 3
played.
Days ago, he announced his tour.
Well played, Shannon.
Yeah,
well
he's
played.
On, he's going to come out and he's going to hit every RSL in the country.
Yeah.
Thinner than ever.
He's going to need all new jeans and white T-shirts.
Oh, God, doesn't wear T-shirts.
Doesn't he?
Don't bother with that. Have you been watching? Nosey's stacked.
Yeah.
Nosey was working out.
No, he's looking good. Nosey looks good.
Yeah.
Respect to Nosey. And a man with a severed leg uses it as a pillow. That's coming up before.
That's really all the information you need.
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
Aha. Now, some of us went out last night and...
I didn't. I went to the movies to see Black Panther. Well, I've got to spend all my life with you already, guys.
You didn't want to join them for a little
I love solo movie time. Yeah. I went to Bondi Junction and I saw Black Panther. And it was... I couldn't decide who I wanted to sleep with more.
Oh, it's one of those. That's a nice problem to have.
All the women were hot. All the men were hot. There were warriors. The women warriors that followed Black Panther around are incredible.
So were you leaning one way more than the other?
Happy for everyone.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of another movie like that. Maybe we should make that the superior today.
I'll tell you what another movie like that is. Barack Obama and his wife. Which one? Who do you love more?
No.
Who do you love more?
Not into the Obama.
Oh, I am. God.
Really?
Maybe it's just me who finds myself in that quandary often.
The Obamas.
I'm a walking hormone. It's fine.
Yeah, man.
Just wondering sort of which way to go. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just as equally enamored with all of the characters in the Obama situation and in Black Panther. But go and see it. It's gross.
Well, what is the... We were going to do a concert thing, but surely we shouldn't. Well, don't even do the movie thing now.
Well, nah.
I have to change your mind.
Nah, I do concert. I like concert.
Mm, I like it too.
Because my first concert was in 1987. And we've talked about this many times. And I was sitting in the crowd and it was me and 15,000 35-year-old women in high-waisted Levi 501s. Low spiral perms. Yeah, I had a Chico roll. And my dad did buy me a program, which was $1,000 in 80s money.
Yes.
$25.
That's a lot.
Do you remember how much money $25 was in the 80s?
Oh, that's big time. Did you say you had a Chico roll?
Chico roll.
Is that what you remember from the concert experience?
And I just remember I got a Chico roll and I got a program. Because remember Stussy pants were like $89.95 and my mum was like, you are saving up for a year to buy those.
I respect her attitude to those because I used to go to General Pants in Bondi Junction and just sort of look at them and touch them.
Do you know they're back? All the kids are wearing them, but it's a different brand and they're doing the thing where the girls are getting around. You'll know if you're listening. High-waisted Stussy pants with a big fat silver chain that hangs around the
skater chain.
Yeah, and then the bottom, they look like pantalones.
Oh, like caught in at the bottom.
Yeah, caught in at the bottom. Oh. They're everywhere.
It's like a Pirates of Penzance look.
And there was a big blow up. Sexy Pirates. There was a big blow up with my friend and her, with my daughter and her girlfriend because they were both wearing the same pants at the party.
Oh.
Like there were 20 girls there in those
pants. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a uniform.
Mm. Anyway.
I couldn't afford them. I had the rip-off pair.
What were they called?
They ended up looking, I can't remember. They're from like Kmart.
Sharks with a Z.
Nothing like it.
But this was my first concert.
Oh,
purple curtain drops. Audi strutted, crotch first. What's the superior first concert? What was the first live act you saw? It was Farnham. Can you believe I got to see Farnham first and it ruined everything for all of time?
That's a high bar.
You need something a bit lower.
I had nothing. Yeah,
There's nowhere to go.
You couldn't have seen Rick Astley or something like that.
It's not lower.
Yeah, he's only got one song.
Yeah, but in the 80s, Rick Astley was that was a concert.
Yeah, that's true.
Horton Pavilion had a lot of, because the Horton Pavilion was the right size for acts that were big but not too big. Mm. So a lot of one-hit wonders would tour.
Who'd you see?
Well, I didn't go, but I think S Club 7, I'm sure they came.
How dare you infer they only had one hit?
And Steps, bands like this, they would come and they would play the Horton Pavilion one night only.
Yeah.
Because the Hopetown Hotel was the even smaller one of that. So you'd get Selwyn would play there.
Oh, yeah. I went to a couple of concerts where those one hit wonders played their song twice.
You have to.
How else do you fill out like a fat hour and a half?
Yeah, so they kick it off at the start and then a whole bunch of whatever. And then, let's see. Guys, remember the song? We've got one you like. And they played again.
Remember this? Alien Ant Farm.
Oh.
I saw them and they did Smooth Criminal twice.
Good.
First and last.
Well, what was your first?
Billy Joel, Sydney Entertainment Centre, Billy Joel. Stormfront. Yep. Awful. Really awful.
That is weird.
Even as a child I knew, hang on, there's something wrong with this.
It is not right to take, what are you, 10 to a Billy Joel?
I was probably 8 or 9 or 10.
Nah, good, that's where I'd want to be. Yeah. Definitely.
Mine was ACDC.
Whoa.
So I came out of the blocks firing, so it was pretty hard. That was my first introduction to live music. So a big stage spectacular. There was a giant blow-up lady with huge bazoongas behind the drummer, and it was the Money Talks tour. So Money at some point, or I presume the song Money Talks, just fell from the roof.
That's just
thousands and thousands of like ACDC dollars.
With Angus's face in the mill.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Still got him.
Still got him. 131060, what is your superior first concert that you went to? Now, you can reach down into childhood.
Oh, no, I want childhood.
Yeah.
I want your first memory of a live, semi-famous person.
Because you kept saying that there were a lot of kids at Ed Sheeran when you saw them.
Yeah.
Well, surely some people have been to that.
Heaps of kids at Ed Sheeran. A lot of kids.
That's because it's a safe introduction into live music, though. It's pretty broad.
There wasn't any swearing in that joke. I kept sitting there thinking, God, these crowds had never come to my stand-up show.
Come on, guys. We're all going back to M's. 131060, Superior First Concert. It is What's the Superior First Concert? Let's get straight to it. Nina from Blacktown, what did you see?
Salt and Pepper.
Yes. How old were you at the time, Nina?
I would have been about 12 or 13.
That's some pretty saucy gear for somebody of that age.
So my older brother took me, so I don't think my parents knew what the songs were about.
Where was it? What was the venue? Do you remember?
Oh, God, I cannot remember, but it wasn't a massive venue.
Did you?
Danny in Penrith, g'day.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's the Superior first concert?
Mine was actually Avril Lavigne.
Wow. There's a name you don't hear anymore.
Well, she married Chad Kroeger, got lupus, and was never heard from again.
What? So she's gone. She Avril Lavigne's gone.
No, she's not dead.
No, I mean, but in terms of the public eye.
Yeah, she met, her and Chad Kroeger were working on a song together and fell in love.
Canadian.
So then they got married.
Mm.
And then I don't know that his lifestyle is too far away from a like your pants around your feet.
Ah.
And she got a bit sick of that. She got very unwell. Very unwell.
Lupus is like a chronic fatigue style condition.
I think it attacks your central nervous
system. Danny, what's lupus?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not good though.
Okay.
Yeah, but poor old Avril, that's what happened to Avril. Everyone is wondering what the hell's going on. She divorced Paddle Pop Lion, though.
She did. And
yeah, Avril was pretty rocking, so.
Yeah, she was very rocking.
I've seen photos of her lately, and she still looks 12, though. She hasn't aged. She's a very, very young-looking face.
Rudest person ever on the panel. My friends that worked on that told me that.
I'm sure she's just like.
Yeah. Really?
She just put her eyeliner on that day and just wasn't feeling it. I get it. It's okay, Avril. She's got
Yeah, she got lupus.
It's Lyme disease, apparently.
Lyme
disease. I knew it was an L. Natalie in Blacktown, hello.
Hello.
What's the Superior first concert?
Adele. This time last year, I was with Adele.
First ever?
Yeah, first ever concert.
At 19?
19, yeah.
Now, did you pay for the tickets, Natalie, or did someone take you?
No, I paid for my mum and myself the $300 ticket, and then I took my auntie as well.
Oh, you're a good girl.
Did you love it?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. It was the best thing, and my expectations for a next concert are so high.
Oh, no.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it is hard after Adele. Where do you go from there?
Exactly.
Oh, Shannon Knowles touring.
Oh, yeah. So Shannon Knowles on the go now. Kids,
what do you reckon?
Rudy Hill.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's a maybe from Natalie. I'll put you down for two.
Great.
Jay's from Lithgow. Jay, the Superior first concert.
Hi, guys. I went and saw The Darkness.
Yes. Oh.
Good idea.
Such a good song. That would have been like a theatre show, Jay.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was at Luna Park.
Of course it was.
Was there a lot of just very, very tight crutch work and some very high vocalage?
Yeah, it was awesome, yeah.
Were the brothers fighting?
16.
Because the brothers fighting? Because they were another two brothers in a band that hated each other. Were they arguing that night, Jay?
No, they were good.
It'll turn sour after that. Excellent work. Who do we like today? Who's going to win today?
Avril.
Yeah. Danny from Penrith, congratulations.
Yay.
You've got Guzmany Gomez free burrito vouchers and movie tickets, and everybody else is getting movie tickets.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's 104.1. Today FM.
A hospital in India has found itself without a leg to stand on.
Hey.
After a man's severed leg has been used as a pillow to prop him up. So it's not just a random leg they found in the leg cupboard. No, no, no.
I wouldn't do that.
This man's own leg was removed because of a tragic bus accident. He's a bus cleaner and the bus overturned. He's cleaning it very severely.
Yeah.
Must be really getting in those corners.
Yeah.
And sadly, the gentleman lost his leg and he was laying down in the corridor of the hospital, and an orderly walked past and thought, oh, he looks like he needs to go nonos. He looks like he's in this nonos. And he just grabbed the man's severed leg that was sitting next to him and popped it under his head as a pillow.
There you go.
And
that should be a bit more comfortable for you.
The man's relatives turned up to the hospital and was like, oh, so what's under his head?
Well, didn't they do that? We've got some bad news. Yeah. He's lost his leg, but the good news is
we found
the pillow.
He's deep asleep.
Yeah. What's his head? And the hospital's like, that shouldn't be there. Whoops.
Now, has anyone been...
We'll launch an inquiry. I just feel like all this for me says is let's think about the person who went through the thought pattern of this bloke needs a pillow.
It does.
I'm going to use a leg, a severed leg that once belonged to said man. That's the thought process. I want to meet that person. Yeah. I want to be friends with that person because that is some whacked out thinking, mate.
You're right.
Grab anything.
I think it's a practical process that they've gone through.
But literally, Grant. Grab anything.
But what else is there in a corridor of a hospital?
Grab a bin.
Not very hygienic.
Because a severed limb is so comfy.
Just come out of surgery.
What style of pillow do you want, Em? Do you want the harm, the firm, the soft, the severed leg?
The good thing about it was probably still warm, so it would have been nice just under the nape of the neck. But there's...
Twitching.
I don't know. What, there's plenty of uses, surely, for a severed leg.
What?
You know, around the hospital. Oh, God, I don't know. What if you got like a creak?
Got
a creaky door.
Prop it open.
I'll just prop the leg up against that and it'll stop it.
There you go. Prop it open.
What else could you use a...
God, I didn't realise we were doing this.
What else could you use a severed leg for?
What else could I use a severed leg for?
Hey, yo, Tracy, my little lady. You drive me crazy. After last week on the couch, I wonder... Yeah,
take that, Dean.
You can hit Dean with it while you're at.
Got him. Probably a few more whacks would have been nice. One's just not enough to take. Oh, there he is.
What else could you do with it, Grant? That's all you're prepared, isn't it?
Is there a third?
No,
that's all I've got.
I want a third, though.
I need a third.
What else can you do with it, Grant?
I need one more with a severed leg.
Come on. The rules of three.
I have trouble of reaching the accelerator in a car.
There we go.
So I could have just leaned down
to
the severed leg.
And from Keytars to Bondi Rescue.
Yep.
Yeah, it'll do. Tonight.
Sesame. You can do... Okay, you're a professional and quite frankly the king of segues.
Okay.
And I want you to back up.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Go back.
Okay.
And do a better segue.
From the Little River
There's
Band.
Bodies of water involved.
No,
come
I got
on.
You. I got
okay,
you. Don't worry. Okay. From the Little River Band to the Bondi Beach. That'll do. From a Little River to Bondi Beach.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll do.
Yes!
Not my best, but it'll do.
Okay.
Tonight, Channel 7. No, 7. No, stuff them. Channel 10, 7:30. I wouldn't know what was
what
on
network
Channel
do
7.
You work for?
At the moment. So, let's go to Harry's, a.k.a. Anthony Carroll from Bondi Rescue.
Harry's!
Yay. Good
yay,
man.
Yay, cheer yourself in. I respect
God,
that.
Have you tanned, Harry?
Have you ever seen a better layer of skin or a better what bunch the? Of teeth?
It's just all part of the furniture at Bondi.
So true. Do you guys, like, compare your arms and go, oh, God, I'm browner?
No. It's there's nothing healthy about a tan, but...
There is nothing healthy about a tan, but, God, you've got a good one on you.
It's the Greek background.
Oh, whatever! You sleep in a and the fact that you sleep in a solarium at night. Just roll in, Harry's.
Because tourists go to Bondi is like a bucket list item, people naturally assume that you blokes might just have the life, just sitting back, chilling, looking at all the tourists, soaking up the sunshine and not doing much. You watch that show, it is hectic. The amount of work that you guys put in down there saving lives.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because you do see like an abundance of tourists that come through Bondi and they look at us and it's like, God, these guys have got the perfect lifestyle. It's like you go to Waikiki and you see the lifeguard relaxing, you go to Bondi and you think they're relaxing too. But it doesn't matter where you go in the world, every lifeguard's, you know, watching the water and doing a great job.
But knife attacks, saving lives, pulling out bodies. I saw you resuscitate a guy on the show once. And I was, like, deadly emotional just watching you guys just pound away to save this guy's life and reunite him with his family. Like, it's a roller coaster.
Did you seriously
of emotions.
See them save someone's life?
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Thank God the cameras were there, guys.
You know, like, you don't know what you're going to get next. It's it could be that moment of joy and then it's the moment of sadness and you have to stay calm and collected no
but
matter what.
Don't you just want to, like, I was sitting on Bondi yesterday and I was watching people walk out. I'm like, oh, God, you are a rescue. I need to have Don't you just want to preempt a rescue? You want to go up and tap someone on the shoulder and say, you have no business being out here. Back up on the sand. Because I do. I watch, especially tourists, I walk up and there's really heavy rips through there and I watch them walk out and just think, oh, man. I look over to you guys, just like, are you guys ready?
I was a Qantas flight attendant as well as being a lifeguard back in my day, and I feel like I should have kind of educated them before they got off the plane.
Great idea.
Yes.
Great idea.
Harry said, you guys need to be standing at the top of Bondi like the flight attendants.
Yeah.
Muscles work together as a force couple, and I think lifeguards and flight attendants should work together.
That's a great idea. Or even on the 380, on the bus that goes down through the city that all the tourists jump on through Bondi Junction, you should be on that with the mic going, if you've got tracksuit pants on, don't go in the water.
I mean, we should soften things up, give them a little koala to cuddle before they get to Bondi
that.
And then say, you know, after cuddling this koala, things could go wrong.
Yeah.
Bad.
It's going to be the highlight of your day. What would you tell people, though? Like, what would you say? Someone who knows that area so well, what would you give the blanket rules as? Don't go in the water.
It's really important for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're an exceptional waterman or what you are.
Yeah, or a local,
you've got to know your limitations. That's the number one thing. And secondly, we have a set of red and yellow flags and we want people to bathe between the red and yellow flags.
Oh, but it's so crowded in there, Harry's.
I know, but I probably shouldn't say this, but everyone deserves a cuddle.
Get on in there and give them a cuddle.
Cuddle it out.
It's nice, man. It's a nice sentiment, man.
Can you?
I reckon some days you should just bring the flags in so it's like touching distance. So it's like a thin.
Like just this.
Like a line out, like a thin corridor. Let's all get involved.
Do you ever do that just to mess with people? We are going to put the flags in real close today, guys. Do you?
No, it's a hard thing because we do generally have two sets of flags at Bondi, but sometimes conditions won't allow us to do that.
And oh, dear.
Yeah, of course, you come to Bondi and you go, well, I want my stretch of little beach and I want to swim where I want to swim. Yeah. It's hard.
It's quite dangerous as a beach goes as well because it's flanked by rocks north and south, isn't it?
Yeah, which we do a lot of rescues at the southern and northern end of the beach. Mm. So, yeah, people are going to jump in. There's so many entry and exit points at Bondi and
they just need you standing there in a nice little red suit, Dole, just directing them.
Blue, mate.
Please
blue,
don't go.
Yeah.
Come blue, on. Blue.
Why?
No, they're very touchy about that.
No, I'm talking about the flight attendant outfit he wore.
Good recovery.
I'm doing a callback, guys.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking because there's a war between the yellow and red guys and the blue guys on the beach.
What? Now tell me about this. I'm interested. Now you've got my attention.
No.
Is there a gang war in Speedos? Do you guys fight each other in Speedos?
No.
Tell me more, Harry.
There's a lot of lifeguards that are actually lifesavers as well. So the lifesavers volunteer their time down on the beach in the red and yellow.
You said the crucial thing. Lifesavers are red and yellow. They are volunteers. And lifeguards are in the
blue.
And they are professionals.
Professionals.
Yeah, that's what they always make the distinction.
Wow.
But we all work together as an integral
team. Harry,
don't wink at us, mate.
Harry's can't see
Harry's, you've opened my eyes to so many things today.
He's great.
And when I go back down the beach, I'm going to watch for wars.
Hey, guys, 13 seasons this show's been around.
13 seasons.
I know.
And was replaced by a show, same network, obviously, that you are outrating. So that must feel good today.
Congrats, man.
Yeah.
It's all about ratings on Bondi, of course.
So it sure is. Tonight, 7:30 on 10, the return of Bondi Rescue. Harry, it's good to see you, mate. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks,
well played, guys.
He's come second in the jungle overnight. Everybody loves him. Good morning, Shannon Noel.
Hi, Nolesy.
Nolesy.
G'day. G'day, guys. How you going?
G'day, guys. Nolesy, have you had a beer yet, Dole?
Oh, I've had a couple of days. Yeah, definitely. Can you believe it's second again, eh? Bloody hell.
No, I didn't even... We were not even going to bring that up. I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, that is not
no,
something...
No, it's all
to,
good.
Is it?
Are you doing okay?
It's all... Oh, no, I'm fine, mate. Fee is such a wonderful human being, and she's been through so much. Like, I tell you what, mate, I couldn't be prouder of coming second to Fee. She's done so well, and I'm so stoked. You know what I mean? So, okay. Still sucks coming second, but at the end of the day, I'm just so amazed by the continued support from the Australian public, guys. It's just been amazing.
I love that you've got the tour ready to go, locked and loaded. When you announced it, I'm like, that man is on a mission.
Oh no, we were pretty lucky. I hadn't had an album out in 7 years, you know, and we put it out on the 2nd of February whilst I was in the show.
Yeah.
So there was lots of hours spent in the camp going like, what the F am I doing? I should be out promoting the album, you know what I mean? But I'll tell you what, I couldn't be happier with how it went and hopefully people continue to buy it and they come along to the shows, you know. So we'll see what happens, I suppose.
Mate, you held yourself up so well in there. You had a little bit of a troubled run, you know, in sort of recent periods, and you went in there to sort of turn it all around. And I think you did an absolute upstanding job, mate. You looked like you had a lot of fun, and you're a great support for everybody in there. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. Mate, I really did, you know. And I'll tell you what, I read a thing on a couple of things on social media before I went in, and somebody said, you know, he's had so many ups, but so many downs, you know. And I thought, well, bugger me, you know. Like, looking back at the statistics, like, there's so many things that have been ups, so a couple of downs and people peg you for them, you know.
Oh, mate,
so I was a bit disappointed with that.
You're right, Nolesy.
The biggest thing I want to... Yeah, thanks, God. But I just want to go in there and be myself, you know. And I didn't want to get involved, play a straight bat.
and I didn't want to get involved because, I mean, I'm not a bitch. You know what I mean?
You're not nosy. You're not.
And you know, I don't bag other.
I feel like
I don't want to bag other people. You know.
All right.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to go in there bagging other people, mate. There's no future in it. I think if you bag other people, you're wasting energy on focusing on what you should be doing moving forward for your own benefit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, mate.
Who did you want to bag, though, Shannon? You
know, Paul Burrell?
Yeah. Who'd you hold it in against?
All of them.
Nolsey, how much weight did you lose? Give me the weight loss figure, Nolsey.
Oh, mate, 11.5 kilos, mate.
You're joking.
And I went in, the funny part is I went in there without an ass.
Yeah, well.
So you can imagine how much... Now I'm just all cock and balls, mate.
I love it, Nolsey. And it's that type of gear you're going to hear on the Unbroken album and the tour.
Yeah.
ShannonNoll.com.au.
Is that one of your title songs, mate? Cock and balls?
There you go.
Shannon Noll.
Shannon, if I couldn't love you anymore,
you just said I'm all cock and balls, mate. Like, I don't know.
I love Nolsey.
But we have Grant Daniel's got a bit of a suggestion for you, maybe to close the show out on a famous song that you did cover. Yeah. And we're going to play it for you now and wish you all the luck in the world. Have a little listen here.
All right, no worries.
What about me? Second again. First Sebastian, now old Lachlan, can't you see? I wanna win. I'm so tired of this shit. Why can't I win? Hang on, Nelson.
To Crazy Horse.
Oh, there it is. There's one.
There you go, mate.
You can have that.
Guy was voted for Fiona, so I'm pretty disturbed about that.
Of course he was.
I'm glad he's looking after his mate, that's for sure.
All right, Nolsey, good work, mate. ShannonNoll.com.au, the album, the tour. He's a great guy. Good on you, Nolsey. Nice to have you with us.
Good luck with Unbroken, mate.
Good on you, cock and balls.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M, Grant and Ed at todayfm.com.au.
M is now working the desk. Now, Grant, you're away for this. But we had a discussion saying that there's not enough sport in this show. Yeah. I said, I want to do a sports report. Yeah. Em said, that's fine. Why don't I provide, this is her speaking, live sound effects? I said, it's unnecessary, but she insisted. Yeah. So Em is behind the desk. She has a full board of relevant sound effects to play.
Ooh, you suck.
Well, that doesn't seem relevant. Or that. Now, you shouldn't play that, Em, because people are in their cars and they look around. You can't play honking.
Why?
You can play one of Grant's cows.
I've never seen so much joy on your face right now,
okay.
Em.
Here comes a sport.
Yes!
Australia has lost a spiteful second test in South Africa.
That is so fetch.
That's David Warner speaking to Quinton de Kock. But it looks as though South Africa's main strike bowler, Rabada, will be suspended for the deciding test match after he bumped David Warner after he dismissed him in the first innings.
No. Sorry, that's a cricket sound effect.
Oh,
and you're
well
talking
done.
About cricket.
That's good.
I don't know how to make it stop, guys.
Can you stop the cricket? Now I feel boring.
Okay.
Graham Arnold, Sydney FC coach, said he's excited to take over the Socceroos. Graham Arnold expressing his excitement there to defend the Asian Cup and then have a go at the World Cup next time. I believe in his comments, he's saying that he thinks Australia can win the World Cup next time, which would be a real thing. Peter Beattie, the Australian Rugby League chairman, didn't know who the Cronulla Sharks were. The chairman,
you suck.
Meanwhile, Mitchell Pearce is still celebrating. That's how he used to celebrate after the Knights' Golden Point victory. In other rugby league news, and to finish us off...
Sorry.
No, Mitchell's gone. It seems as though the exiled Todd Carney could be making a dramatic comeback to the NRL. The disgraced former playmaker has been plying his trade overseas, that's Mitchell, after an incident that we all remember at Northeast.
What happened?
Well, it was the bubbling.
The what? What did he do?
Is my time up?
What did he do?
It's bubbling. I can't
What's
go.
It's bubbling.
No.
Oh, what sound effect goes?
Yeah, if you see it, if you've seen the photograph. And that is Today FM Sport. Yeah. No, you got to play the next thing. Em and Grant, we've been speaking to people who have very interesting life stories or something in their life that perhaps is misunderstood, that people would go in with assumptions and hoping through speaking to them and them telling their own story that we might be able to bring out things that would allow people to understand that everyone's life is their own and there are commonalities in all of our experience and to take some of the stigmas away from that. And on that today, we are speaking to someone who is by the name of Ben, who is the survivor of a cult called The Family. Hello, Ben.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Ben, you're remarkably well-adjusted considering what you've been through. And I wonder if you could, for people who aren't familiar with what happened to you, if you could tell us your story.
No problem at all. I grew up in a religious cult called The Family. It's had books written on it, as well as a movie, The Family, which came out last year. So I was put into that, or handed over, as a 18-month-old baby.
By your parents?
By my mother. So my mother had rejected her Judean Christian roots, growing up in Melbourne in a Jewish community, gone to a Christian school, married, had three children, by all outward appearances, a very successful life. Had some issues with her marriage, married a guy who had been through World War II and had a lot of stuff, that mental issues that come from that difficult marriage, from what she said. Became very interested in Eastern mysticism, yoga and the likes, which in the 60s is nothing new, thanks to the Beatles, among other things.
Right, yeah.
And it really hit Melbourne big time. She became involved in this cult, which had an incredible amount of respectability due to Dr. Raina Kerry-Johnson, who'd been part of Melbourne Uni. And my mother had physical issues, was on, she claims, her deathbed. The leader of this cult, who'd very much tapped into the occult, demonic power, claimed to have healed her, and by all appearances that seemed to be the case, and she was hooked. So she left her husband, shacked up with another guy from the cult who ended up being my father. Both claimed to be married but weren't. I arrived. My father was sent over to England. My mother was asked to go down to the leader's property in Upper Ferntree Gully and look after that, and wouldn't be able to have me with her. So she was turned into a single mother, and the leader of this cult asked for me. And by this stage, she claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus asked her if she could bring up her child, my mother happily stepped into the background, thought she'd got the lotto, and she became Auntie Joy, who I never really connected with at all.
So your mum at the time thought she was doing something good for you in her own mind at that point.
She thought it was the best thing possible.
Growing up in the family, did you know that the way you lived was not how other kids lived?
We became aware of that over the years. So,
Ben, what are some of the things you would have to go through, just so people understand the extent of what happened?
Very regimented lifestyle. Yoga, hatha yoga, meditation. There was a rule book that we lived by, which prescribed missing out on meals, beltings, cold showers. There were occasions where we were all lined up and belted and then heads put into buckets of water to try and extract the truth out of us over some vitamin Cs that had been stolen one time, and another time there was a violin rest that went missing. There was a lot of emotional torture, separation of, if we built friendships with one another, they were very quickly torn apart.
How many children were there, Ben? How many kids?
There's up to 28 at any given time. There were, some of those were considered foster children, so they were sect members' children. I think there was 14 or so of us that believed that Anne was, and Bill, her husband, she married in 77, was our parents, which turned out to be a complete lie.
So abuse was at the core of the cult then? Like, how did you handle that as a youngster?
As I've said, if I was to do the things that were done to me, I would expect the government or the powers to be to come in and remove me. So Anne's upbringing, and this could take hours to tell, so I'll try and make it very short, was not ideal. Her father didn't seem to be around a lot due to the nature of the work. Her mother had her own major mental issues and was involved in the occult as well, and was in and out of asylums. So almost as if Anne was replicating part of a child of very institutionalised, and Anne was in and out of institutions. So that was her frame of reference. So we were looked after by aunts or women and men that would come up that were rostered on and off. So loveless at times, harsh, difficult, and Anne ruled it with an iron fist.
How do you get someone to buy into the cult if it's so hard or so aggressive or so hurtful?
Okay, so I'm talking from the perspective here of lived in it. We live in a society, Western society, which believes in two tiers. There's a heaven up there and then down here on the earth where, we get fixed with penicillin and psychiatrists, psychologists, and the two don't interact. In reality, the vast majority of the world believes in a second or another tier that fits in between, and even Aboriginals believe in this, where there is a spiritual realm out there that you can draw into and you see it. And very much connected in with that world. And you go back into the 60s, LSD, meditation, you're dealing, and the book she handed out to people, Yoga and the Bible, the Science and the Breath. What was another one? Yeah, so there were three of those that she had, the Autobiography of a Yogi. This created a framework of understanding for people to say there is a spiritual world out there. This is how you access it, and here's the power available to change the outcomes of life. And Christianity says the same. There are ways of doing that. Anne tapped into a spiritual dynamic that had signs and wonders, convinced people. She had a guy who was very well respected, the dean of Melbourne Uni.
That can't be understated, can it, Ben?
Absolutely
that can't be understated. When someone who is so high up in academia is endorsing this, Ben, and then that gives things such credibility.
Legitimacy.
Absolutely. This man is a man of learning and of science, and he's not a guy with a made-up book of symbols. This is a man who's come from, intellectual on high.
So, absolutely. Ben, let me take you to 1987 when the police raided the property and they removed you and eight other children. Do you remember that day?
Very well.
So what happened? And talk us through.
It was always going to be a different day. And at that stage had been over in England. There had been issues with us getting old and beginning to stretch out and
question things.
One of the girls had, in inverted commas, gone missing. She'd ran away, finally successfully done that.
Wow.
And she tells a story in the family. Another one of them had been gone to England, had been given LSD, had gone into a psychosis fit for 6 months, had a major impact, come back to Australia, highly intelligent. Her name was Sarah, wrote a book, Unseen, Unheard, Unknown, who passed away last year, actually. So you had three girls that were out of the sect. We had, as I said, there'd been issues with things going on. Her husband, Bill, had come back, and this day was the last day he was going to see us before he was going to head back overseas again. So we were expecting a different day. All of a sudden, every morning was a ritual, hatha yoga, meditation. Suddenly there's running down the steps into the bedroom we were in, and instead of it being the aunts trying to catch us for not doing the yoga classes, suddenly it's foreign people. Burst into the room. There was about a whole group of police. I think one of the girls, Sarah, was there trying to calm us down. And we were pulled out. Now, I fought to stay. In my mind, I was about to head over to England, go to boarding school. It was going to be a good life. The police were supposed to be enemies, there to drag us away and beat us up, as we'd been brought up to believe. So, yeah, I struggled with that, but got to a point as I physically fought at the top of the steps to stay in there an epiphanal moment, they say, where I came to a point of going, this could be good. We were driven away of just saying, listen, this is the end of a chapter. I remember these words, in the beginning of a new one, pages being turned. So that turned out to be, I guess you could say, very true. So it was a day that continued on with food being given to us. We had to go outside suddenly.
Are these all new experiences for you?
Totally.
Oh, yeah. Man.
We're totally out of prison. It's a new life. It was an amazing experience.
Frightening but sort of still exciting at the same time, because it would be very hard to adjust. Can you be normal after that?
Yes, you can. It just takes time. So it was a day of memories and experiences of going to the place we eventually stayed for a while, of being given dessert and food and being able to wash the dishes and thinking this was fantastic. Very quickly got cured of that.
Yes.
And got the dishwashers.
Yeah.
So, Ben, would you say... Now, the very interesting thing, there's two things. You, Anne is still alive. Yep. And currently dying on her deathbed. She's, what is she, 96?
Yeah, it'd be about
right. Around there. And you went to see her, and I'm sensing that have you forgiven her?
I did go to see her with my mother in 2012. And
what's that like?
The forgiveness we speak about actually for me happened decades earlier. I'd by that stage become a born-again Christian and was going through the process of all of the bitterness, the anger, being aware of the impact of what she'd done as I'm struggling to process life, of work out what to do. So, yeah, Jesus says, as you've been forgiven, forgive those. So I made a conscious intellectual decision to do that. I remember the place and the location. So in a sense, that for me was setting her free of the debt that she owed me.
God.
But at the same time was also breaking spiritual ties and connections of saying, I'm moving on and, you know, disconnecting. So
when you saw her, she's got dementia. Does she remember what she did?
No. You're dealing with a person who is that far gone. She recognised my mother but had no recollection or no recollection of who I was, to the point where she actually, as I was looking at some photos, was lots of photos of us in an album. She said, "Oh, you can take that with you."
As a keepsake.
Yes.
So I lived it.
That was. Right. I thank you. I'll leave that one there.
Seeing her so weak and sick, was that kind of? Did you then realise that she no longer had that power over you, and she will never have that power over you anymore?
Very good question, Grant. That's probably why you asked it. That happened actually, as I said, a long time before, of understanding the spiritual connections that have been broken, of the decisions I've made that I wasn't going to let her direct me. Having been married at 20, a relationship with God, the real Jesus Christ, having met him in a vision and stuff, I was very much on a path and tracking with a very different life. So this was more going back, my mum wanted to go. And I was working through that relationship with her, but it was a sense of seeing, she's very powerless. The woman that she had been and the spiritual power she had wielded was no longer the case. And literally she's just waiting to go down the chute to stand before the judgment seat where all of us will go. So, it's sobering.
Just finally, how's this affected your relationship with your own kids? Were you worried about becoming a father?
Absolutely. The reference points that I had were not good. And so when my daughter came along, she's now 19, I'd been married for 6 years. By then had made a choice to base how I brought up a family on God's word, what works, what doesn't. Had seen it working around me, got help, advice, all of those sorts of things. So moving into being a father was a progression of that. Marriage was, I remember the 2 weeks before being freaked out. What am I doing? But yes, I want to do this. Yeah. Aren't we all like that?
Yeah, of course.
26 years on, it's been a good thing. So being a father has had concerns, but I was confident if I based it upon the direction and the counsel of God's word that I'd seen played out in people's lives around me, that it was going to work. And I have continued to get advice off men, women, that it's been successful, that I've seen it work, gone and asked them, what did you do? How do I do this? Read books, and taken.
Do you keep in touch with the other family members?
To an extent. Some, obviously, we've gone our different ways, but there is this commonality. So when issues come up, or, events occur, obviously there is this connection. And I guess the help there is you don't have to go through the history with them. They're just, you fit back in a way.
You're survivors in a war.
That's spot on.
Yeah.
Can I just, you obviously have quite a profound element of spirituality in your life. Did I detect earlier on when you were talking about Anne, who claimed to be the reincarnation of Christ, that she actually did have some healing powers? Do you believe that she could help people?
Absolutely she did. She wielded spiritual power, which is occultish. And you can study this out, that is very genuine. What it does, though, and this is the dividing line God says, is that it's either Christ or Antichrist. And the Bible is very clear, very quickly on this. There's spiritual power out there that is wielded, that can heal, that can move, that can cause issues to happen in people's lives, good and bad. Mm-hmm. It's where that's tapped from and what it does. So this clearly rejected the only way available to man of salvation through Christ and directed people off with signs and wonders down a path where she manipulated, controlled and sucked the life out of them and cut them off from the only source of eternal life, which is a scary place to be in. So, yes, my mother was healed and, you know, processing that, looking into it has made me search out for what really is the thing. And I've experienced it through Christ, the genuine thing that doesn't destroy, that doesn't hurt, that doesn't destroy families and believe that it's above the world.
Well, so much so, Ben, you're a pastor now, so you're out there doing good, and we want to thank you for being so generous with your story, which we know is very painful and personal. Like I said, you're a remarkably well-adjusted person.
I will have to correct you, Emma. I used to be a pastor.
You're not a pastor anymore?
No, I'm over in Perth just in the Potter's
spreading
house
the good
in
word.
Beachboro.
Yeah,
just in, just a member of the congregation under my pastor, Pastor Payne.
Good on you, Ben.
Pastor Payne.
You guys. Yes.
Thanks for your time.
Pastor Tom Payne. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
7:33, we thank Ben Shenton for his story. We did have a longer chat, which I had to cut down there. You can hear that on the podcast of his experience surviving the family.
It's fascinating.
Amazing.
Really is. I just find that stuff so fascinating. And he really was so calm and composed. Yep.
And well-adjusted considering those experiences that he had.
A very strong faith. You know, whether or not you believe in it or not, he had a good sense of faith in him and that everything was going to be okay.
Yep.
And but thank you. Thanks, guys. That was amazing.
Get more of Today FM Breakfast with M. Grant and Ed by downloading the Today FM app.
We're joined in the studio by Lackey Jack, one of our producers, young man trying to make his way in Sydney. And we all know that when you start out, you go to the share house living. And you end up with some different types. Emma, would you like to sing your...
Going down, 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 down to Roomy Wrong Town.
Roomy Wrong Town. Morning, Jack.
Morning.
Now, first things first, you always start with how many people do you live with?
Originally three, but now six.
Six. How many bedrooms?
How many rooms?
Three.
Yeah.
I have my own, so that's nice.
Are you not doubled up?
No.
Okay.
Not on weekdays.
So, and then was this a...
Good.
Well played.
Good to see you. Is that where that smile comes from?
And is this the three to the six, was this an official, let's sit down, everyone, there's more people moving, or did you just come home one day and there were three more people in your house?
Yeah, pretty much. The girl told me, by the way, my friends are staying for a few weeks while we find a place.
And how long ago was that?
That was 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so they're there for good.
So the girl who moved those people in, she's not there?
No, she's gone on holiday to South Africa.
Okay.
But her dog's there, which I have to look after and take for walks all the time, which I'm not stoked about.
Wait, what? Do you not know how to say no to other human people?
Well, otherwise the dog's going to just wee everywhere. So I'm the only one home.
She left her dog.
So she just invited more people in without asking you, then nicked off and left the dog behind.
Every morning at about 8 o'clock I'll get a message. Hey, Jack, can you just take the dog for a walk when you get home? Oh,
can I respond today? When the message comes through at 8, can you please let me respond?
Okay.
Is this the girl who's taken it next
this
level?
This is the girl. So that was all fine, and then this weekend I realised that she's actually batshit crazy.
Now we've got to be...
careful with those terms.
You can't say that again, okay?
Sorry,
I enjoyed it, but we can't say it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Friday, I come home, the bathroom is flooded.
Okay.
And the bathroom had, water had gone out to the carpet and everything. And I was like, what the hell's going on? It was to do with the drains. That's fine. We told the landlord they're getting it fixed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come home yesterday.
Yeah.
And she's having a shower. We're not supposed to be having showers in that bathroom.
Okay. Right.
I'm like, what are you doing? There's water flooding everywhere, all over the carpet. She's in there for 20 minutes.
Okay.
I go, what are you doing? She goes, oh, no, we do this, the carpets will flood and we'll get new carpets.
She's actively destroying the house.
She's standing there mopping water from the tiles onto the carpet. I'm Are you nuts? We're not going to get new carpet tomorrow.
The whole house is going to smell like mold.
Yeah. It's going
to
stink.
So to get new carpet, she's destroying the old carpet.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with the old carpet?
Well, it's just a little bit old, but, you know, it's fine when it's dry.
Oh,
when it's
my
wet. No.
That is not good.
Now, her plan for new carpet, it is actually after we get the new carpet, then what? Surely the landlord's going to say, how did this carpet get so wet?
Because of the drains. Mm-hmm. She thought it through. She can just blame the drains that they haven't fixed yet. Yeah, because you didn't fix the drains, the carpet got wrecked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Wow.
What she hasn't thought about is us living there in the meantime in a mold.
Exactly.
Infested
and when they
carpet.
Walk in, they're going to go, why is there a watering can over there in the corner of the lounge room?
Why is there a hose plugged in from the garden into the lounge room? 131060.
Yeah, well done.
Roomy Wrongtown.
Yeah.
Do you? I mean, I don't know, that's going to be hard to top.
But you can have, it can be historical because, you know, people sort of move on from share house living. But if you've lived with someone that's just got the roomy wrong towns going on, something that they did which was just not cool in a share house.
I got something.
Oh,
that's a hook.
I got something.
I lived with a nurse in Coogee here and she just started mirroring my life. So she bought the same linen as me.
That's good.
She started buying the same clothes as me. Mm-hmm. Like she started eating the same food as me.
Yep.
It was really.
And she's here today.
Actually, guys, I'm not Em Rossiano. 131060, Roomy Wrongtown. Can you top someone watering their carpets? Someone trying to assume my identity. I'm sure Grant has a story. I can't wait to hear.
You're nearly dead. She's going to kill you and take your identity.
Oh, 100%. How do you know? I'm not a skin suit. Very fabulous one.
We're down in Roomy Wrongtown. If you live with somebody who's just got, just taking matters into their own hands in a terrible way. Grant Denyer.
Had a little bit of an issue. A friend of mine staying with someone who would not lift a finger, wouldn't do a single thing around the house to clean it. So they thought the only solution, let's go to extremes here to see if we can get them to do something. So what they did while the person was out is they trashed the whole house, pulled everything out of the cupboards, everything out of the drawers, put it on the floor and made it look like the house had been robbed. So they left the door open and then just left.
So that seems extreme.
It's pretty extreme. Not the end of their tether. So when the person came home, they've gone, oh my God, the house has been trashed. And so they cleaned the whole joint from top to bottom to find out what had been stolen. Yeah. So they finally managed to get the person to do something in the house, but they had to fake a robbery to do it.
What do you do next time? So Kylie, Kylie.
Good morning.
Hello, Roomy Wrongtown. What happened?
I had a flatmate who pooed in the shower.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
And what do you do about that?
Oh
Kylie?
My God! Did they leave the nuggy in there for you?
Well, yes. For quite some time, I thought we had a drainage problem.
Oh God.
And I was thinking, what's going on? I lived with a guy and a girl. They were a couple. And then I thought, oh, hang on. And then I started to sort of find. I eventually found, like, it was squished in the drain.
Yeah.
And I thought it was him.
Yeah.
Because she was a neat freak. Yeah. Anyway, one day she's in the shower, the phone rings, it's for her, so she just hops out, takes the call, and she's on the phone for ages. I need to go to the bathroom, and I walk in there, and there's a big steaming pile.
Oh. Wow, cable laid. Thank you, Kylie. You know what's hectic, though? It's very laborious trying to mash that stuff down a drain. What are you poking it through with?
It's like mashed potato, isn't it? With your fist, your palm, or your hand, or your foot? Are you trying to push it down with your leg?
With your heel. Everyone wees in the shower, sure, but that to me is just inconvenient.
I mean, you need gumboos in the shower at least.
It's more effort than doing it in the toilet.
From Kylie, we move to Kylie. Kylie from Gregory Hills. Roomy Wrongtown, what happened?
Yeah, hi. It's actually about my nephew. He moved in with a guy and they had free-range rats, apparently.
No, they just had rats.
No one had to get rid of them.
I've lived in that house.
When he said why, he goes, no, they're my free-range rats.
I've lived in that place.
Yeah,
all the free-range rats you can handle.
Oh, my God.
That's disgusting.
Thanks, Kylie's. Good calls.
When Mimi falls apart, you easy. When Tay Tay gets in a fight with Kanye, when you click on Justin Bieber's dick pic, that's entertainment.
Jay-Z and Beyonce are hitting the road again. This is very exciting. I need the Beyonce song, the FX Pen.
Why is it not playing?
Now they're going on tour together.
Yes, the superstar couple have announced the On The Run 2. And I don't want Stadium tour on Monday that will kick off on Wednesday, June 6th in Cardiff, UK. They'll do 15 cities across the UK and Europe before hitting North America. Unfortunately, no Australian dates have been announced. I would love to see those two on stage together.
That's a power pack combo.
Yeah, amazing. Because she hasn't been on tour for a while. I'm ready for a Beyonce tour. I'm ready.
Is that a reconciliation tour?
No. I don't know what you're referring to. Everything's fine there.
Sorry.
They both did. His last album did involve a film clip where she played the Pope and he was kneeling down in front of her begging for forgiveness. So
begging.
I feel like everything's A-OK there.
Okay.
Meghan Markle is going to maybe get Prince William to give her away. Now, Meghan's father's not coming to the wedding.
Nope.
No comment as to why. Mm-hmm. I know he's unwell. He is unwell.
Okay.
None of Meghan's family have in fact been invited except her mum. Mm-hmm. And Prince William might be the one to walk her down the aisle, which is an interesting choice. I would have thought maybe Charlie.
Yeah, Charles.
Yeah. I just feel like William's... So we. I mean, I don't know why, but well, we'll see.
Having
but
a bro-in-law do it does...
Why can't her mum walk her down the aisle? Are we that... Steeped in tradition?
Yes, I think
I don't know. I just feel like there needs to be a bit more flexibility because wouldn't that be lovely?
That does break the protocol, apparently, according to the royal protocol.
Well, we can't be having women be doing important jobs.
The protocol.
God, no.
Yeah.
The protocol is women should be seen and not heard. Paris Hilton. Now, you did ask me what's going on with her. And you said, remember when that was a thing. She appeared at the 2018 iHeartRadio Music Awards, which just happened. And she was there with her fiancé, /DJ/model/actor Chris Zilka, who definitely paid for the $2 million engagement ring she's wearing from his DJ cash jobs.
He would have done.
Yeah, definitely off his cashies. And he was asked about how he feels about Paris Hilton.
I think she's one of the most intellectual women I've ever met. Like, I think the better question is, what don't you like? And there's nothing.
What don't you like about her?
In case you didn't hear that, she is the most intellectual woman I've ever met.
Ever.
To be fair, we scoff at that. She did run an empire. She does have perfumes and things. I mean, you can't. I think she knows what she's doing.
And the music was amazing.
Oh, let's never forget Stars Are Blind.
I don't.
Hashtag never forget.
Yep.
And finally.
Wish my ears were deaf.
it's Ed's favourite song.
One of them. Even though the stars are crazy.
I forgot.
Even though the stars are blind. Yeah. If you show me real love, baby, I'll show you mine.
That's not since Dylan.
But that's an Albert Einstein quote that she's adapted for her intellectual music.
And finally...
Is that how Arnold was made when you sung those lyrics?
It's beautiful.
Come on, mate, that was in Paris.
And finally, Knowlesy obviously has finished runner-up yet again.
Come on, Knowlesy.
On a Channel 10 reality TV show. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. So Fiona O'Loughlin take out the crown and our very own Shannon Knoll comes second. And we did get to speak to Knowlesy earlier. And I don't even remember why he said this.
Because he said, he went in already pretty trim and then he'd lost a lot of weight that he didn't have to lose.
And now he's just this.
The funny part is I went in there without enough.
Yeah, well.
So you can imagine how much, now I'm just all cock and balls, mate.
Excellent.
It's also the name of his new tour.
Yeah, he's amazing. And then also we thought, well, we'd give him an idea. Grant, you recorded a song for Knowlesy, something for him to sing on this tour that he's launching out on.
I think he deserves it.
What about me? Second again. First Sebastian, now O'Loughlin. Can't you see? I want to win. I'm so tired of this shit. Why can't I win? I'm Shannon Knoll. Let me in to Crazy Horse.
Oh.
Now.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
That's entertainment.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks.
At 8:15.
you're singing the song, were you there?
Jolly old man. What's the time?
It is 8:15.
Well done, everyone.
We have so much coming up. Dave Hughes is going to be joining us. Pink tickets, but it's time to try and give away $10,000. Official game show host Grant Denyer, who have you got for us today?
We got Joe from Cogra on the line. Hello, Joe. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, beautiful people. I'm lovely. How are you?
No, you are. You're beautiful.
Thank you.
You ready to win some money for what?
Sure am.
What do you want to win it for?
I need a new car.
Oh.
What are you driving?
A Holden Commodore.
Commodore!
What year are we talking about?
2000.
Oh. Yes.
Now you're due.
That was a pickup machine. I'd only date tradies who drove the 2000 Commodore at one point in my life.
That was your type.
I got it. No. But it's a good car, but I don't think it's going to pass the next inspection.
The old roadworthy.
I think we've switched a few tyres here to get it past the last one.
That happens. Well,
we don't want you on the road illegally, so let's see if we can get this done for you right now, Joe from Cogra. You ready to play today, FM's
sure
Alpha
am.
Bucks? 30 seconds to answer 10 questions. All your answers must start with the letter J for Joe.
Oh, of course.
Okay, for each question you get right, you score $100 with the chance to win up to 10 grand. We must take the first answer. You can't use the same answer twice, and the adjudicator's word is final. Are you ready, Joe?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Name a Sydney suburb.
Pass.
A Star Wars character.
Jedi.
A fabric.
Pass.
An exercise.
Jazzercise.
A 90s TV show.
Pass.
Electronics store.
JB Hi-Fi.
An Australian Prime Minister.
John Howard.
A brand of beer.
Pass.
Song.
Just you and me.
A body part.
Jaw.
Yeah, I'm happy with Jaw. Did Jaw get in? Hope for some nodding. I thought that was fair enough.
$500 is what you got, Joe. Nice. Congratulations.
Yay, I'm clapping for myself.
We're clapping for you.
Never clap alone. Thanks, Joe. You enjoy that. They can get you a Sharpie to colour in the...
Or maybe some new tyres, so you don't have to...
get a new tyre.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Finally, Em, you're on board with Married at First Sight.
I wouldn't say I was on board.
On board.
I would say I happened to see my first ever proper episode last night. Guys, I don't know if you've heard, but...
It's like watching a dead ball.
I didn't even know what I was... I felt honestly like I was being intrusive on someone else's really weird, pathetic, trivial life.
Congrats. That's exactly what...
So all the couples obviously, well, we know what's going on. Boring. Whatever. So supposed scientist, love expert, John Aiken, this guy.
I'm John Aiken. I'm a relationship expert.
Are you?
And I've been working for the last 20 years with singles and couples, helping them get their relationships back on track.
He thought it would be a great idea if everyone partner swapped. So this guy straight away just wants to start beef. And oh my God, guys, you're not going to believe who got paired together.
This is a shock. Give it to me.
I mean, can you believe that they paired up, what's the nice girl's name? Charlene and Dean.
You're kidding.
Isn't that amazing?
Hang on, they hate each other.
What? This is news to expert Ron John Aiken.
Oh.
I wish his name was Ron.
Ron
John Aiken sounds actually a little more apt. So the first coupling that I was interested in was Mel and Troy. So Troy is floppy fringe boy.
Yes. Yep.
And supposed 30-year-old Virgin.
Yeah.
And he sat down with Mel. Mm-hmm. Now Mel is, I guess, the older of the couples.
Yeah.
Mel and John. John got jilted the first time around. Yep. He came back. And Mel and John, guys, they're just getting it on. They're just having so much love time. They're really into each other.
We're definitely gone past friends, like we're kissing and, you know, mucking around and everything.
Yeah, and then Troy's heard this, right? And this was, I swear to God, this was Troy's response.
I honestly think I could have been matched with you. We would have so much fun.
I definitely think Troy was hitting on me.
He definitely was hitting on you, doll.
I knew this about Troy.
Troy would hit on a watermelon if he thought it was eating.
he's got mother replacement issues all over him.
Okay, let's not.
He has got Bates Motel.
Right. All right, Ron
he's
John.
Bates Motel.
Okay.
he's going to murder you in your sleep.
With you are with
Sorry.
Troy.
Anyway, moving on. Then, of course, it came down to what we all wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Charlene V. Dean.
Oh, my God.
So she walks into this saloon bar. It's all set. It's very dark.
Yeah.
And she goes and sits in the corner, back to the wall, smart.
Gotcha.
In case he comes in and tries to spear her with his charm. And basically they sat down. And what you're about to hear, I don't know what was going on, but I became very distracted because there was a vibe off going on.
A vibe?
It was a vibe off. Ooh. Guys, just vibes. Just vibes. Just have a listen.
Okay.
Just some vibes.
So what about the Carly thing? You saying that you and Carly had a vibe?
I don't think Carly and I have a vibe at all. I barely know Carly, and I've never said I have a vibe with Carly. I've never used that word.
Okay.
Maybe that's been generated out of somewhere else.
Pat point blank said to my face that you said I am vibing with Carly. Why would Pat lie to me? Why?
I don't think he's lied. I think he's just used like Chinese whispers have happened as happened.
He was there, Dean. Yeah, but, okay. He was there. So, but you said it. Because
I don't think
no
I used the word vibing. I'm 99.9% sure I didn't use the word vibing. I have felt a bit of a vibe from Carly.
What?
Why would Pat lie to me?
He is lying. I think so. I didn't say the word vibe.
I know. He's gone eight vibes.
What is going on? I'm sitting there going, have I missed out on a drinking game?
Yes.
I don't understand. I just was sitting there going, why are they saying the word vibe so much? I don't get it. Is it, what's his rap name? Is it DJ Vibes?
Visions.
DJ Visions with a Z because he's a very visual person. Do you know what I'm feeling from you, Em? Do you know what I'm feeling from
Tell me.
A vibe.
Vibe.
Are you in?
She's got that. Em's got it. Ed's got it.
Dean's got it.
Dean got it.
Are you in?
Nah.
Oh.
What? I just don't care about these people. I'm sorry. And I don't know why we're doing this. I don't know why. I feel like Australia's been tricked and hoodwinked by them. But what I do want to see is a Married at First Sight nightclub tour, and I'm all for that. I'm here for that. Can you imagine? They all turn up. They're all single. They get to put them in a cage.
Yep. Good
and
idea.
And then people just come up and pay to do their things.
I'll have that one. Yeah. Thank you. I'll have the Viber.
I'm on that. Mm. Yeah, I want some vibes. You know what Dean's got? When Dean gives you his vibes, you need some
Mate, we're going to get out of here now. Let's go. Yes, we're all present and accounted for. You can hear him as part of the drive show at 4:30 this afternoon, or you could watch him on Hughesy, We Have a Problem. Don't start coughing. Tonight at 8:30 on Network 10. Yeah. Good morning, Hughesy.
Good morning, guys. Just clearing the throat. Just to, you know, skip. Just to establish my role in the... in the foursome, as we are for the next few minutes.
How many times have you had to establish a role in a foursome?
What are you talking about? How are you, darling? How's your tour going? How's your stand-up going? Is it all going well?
The going snorkeler? Really good. Yeah, the snorkeler's going really well until you have to try to explain why it's called the snorkeler to your children.
I love that. No, yeah,
how's that going down?
Well, you don't explain the whole story.
Just the highlights. Hughesy, stay there. This is a tease, so don't get too far into it. We're coming back to do what's in Hughesy's wallet. Now, you've got in front of you the legal terms and conditions that we've had to put in, correct?
Yeah, I do. I've got it on my iCloud. All right. Yeah, absolutely.
An iCloud? Not a piece
of
paper.
I've got iCloud.
Yeah, he's got iCloud.
I've got iCloud. I had Big Pond, but then I lost my password. So
if anyone
you lose your password, you have to move on to another email.
Well, come back. You're going to read the full legal terms and conditions, and then we're going to find out how much is in your wallet and give that away.
Did you go to the ATM before you came here?
No, I thought about it. I thought going to my little drawer, but I thought, no, I want to be honest and keep the integrity of the competition. So,
sure, that's
but we've still got a bit in there today.
So okay, great.
Got to be honest, though. It's not a drawer. It's a vault, isn't it?
It's a pit,
It should be a vault. But we've got cameras at home now, so don't think about turning up. We will find you.
All right, 13, 10, 60. How much do you think is in Hughesy's drawer?
What are you, the Sultan of Brunei? The
cameras are good, but you can't do anything. They stay there forever. Seriously.
Yeah.
My wife was going, any movement, and she can go to any time during the day and find out what that movement was. Oh. Often it's pigeons and stuff, but still, you can find them.
13, 10, 60. How much do you think is in Hughesy's wallet? What?
A
wallet.
Do it next.
Okay, it's next. We are joined by Dave Hughes. Hughesy, We Have a Problem tonight, 8:30 on Network 10. But what we like to do is...
We do discuss my block house purchase on the show tonight. We get a real estate expert on. So if you've got any interest in the block, which a lot of people did, guys, and you want to see how it's all going, don't miss Hughesy, We Have a Problem tonight, 8:30.
What's the predicament you're discussing about the house?
He splurged $3 million walking past to show how big his crotch was, and it's not worth
that.
Well,
that's not true. It's not true. Well, that's the sort of attitude I'm fighting against, Grant. I mean, it's the politics of envy, mate. So.
Hope you get the answers you're looking for tonight, mate. Tommy Little, Susie Youssef, Dave O'Neill, and Denise Scott also on the show.
Hey.
I wasn't wrapping up. I was just getting excited about tonight's show.
I'm trying to do the right thing by his product.
It's not M. Russiano or Ed Cavalier who have him on our show every week.
Why would you start
on,
Grant? That's what you're going to do.
Nah, good. Keep asking every... Where's the list of every comic in Australia? Here we go. Go. Yeah. We're going to do every single, but not her. Not her. Em Rossiano put a line through her. No, I now see the error of my ways. It's fine, Hugh. Don't worry about it. Keep pushing on.
No, we've had a lot. But me and it, anyway, we'll move on. And just be look, you never
next
know.
Next year the show, Em Rossiano, never, we have a problem.
Oh, you never know when the call's coming through, Em. You never know when the call's coming through.
Hughie, can you please read out the official... Now, these were sent to us by legal because we have had complaints. So here are the official terms and conditions of what's in Hughie's wallet.
Yeah, hang on. I've just got to get my app open.
What about the cloud, mate?
I'm on the cloud. I'm in the cloud. Yes, all right. What's in Hughie's wallet? Rules. All players must adhere to the terms and conditions of play to be eligible to win. Should you be selected to play What's in Hughie's Wallet on air, you must not change your guess or you will be disqualified. The amount you have told the producers must remain the same as the amount you say on air. The caller who correctly guesses how much cash he has wins that cash. If no caller guesses the exact amount, the caller gets closest without going over wins. And Hughie may give clues if he chooses. That is the extent.
But you know what's ridiculous about this? Is as fun as this game is, I give away on Family Feud like up to $50,000 every night.
Oh, all right, mate.
And we have less rules than this.
Yeah, but... Right. Channel 10 have an endless well of money apparently now from CBS and Les Moonves.
Moonves, here we go. So, go on. Here comes Lorraine from Grey Staines. How much is in Hughie's wallet?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
$132.
Oh, you think so little of me, Lorraine. No, seriously. There's more than that today.
I love how personally offended he gets when it's a small amount.
There was a small amount last week, so it's up this week.
Okay.
So I went travelling. When I go travelling, I dip into the well and put it in my wallet.
Put it in the sock.
Yes.
Belinda, Sanctuary Point, hello.
Hello.
What's in Hughie's wallet?
$262.
More. Sorry.
He says with disdain.
No, it wasn't disdain.
That was disdain. Debbie is from Levington. Debbie, what's in Hughie's wallet?
I think he's got $467.
Hugh?
Yes.
Well, look, you know what? If we don't go to the decimal point, I think we've got to give it to her.
I can't.
$467.
It was $4.67.70, but I reckon that is close enough, honestly.
And
that
Debbie,
was incredible. Lucky morning.
That's actually amazing. And the producer did not tell you the exact amount, did they?
No.
Did you not listen to the terms and conditions, man?
What's the name of Hughie's show that we're watching tonight on Channel 10?
I missed it. I'm so sorry, but I will watch it.
What? No, go again.
What's the name of the show?
Hughie's show.
Oh, Jesus.
For God's sake. You're not going to have to give her my money, honestly.
Hughie, we have a problem tonight.
Absolutely.
8:30 on Network 10.
After Bondi Rescue, they're back, and there's a lot of hijinks going on in that Bondi surf, I can tell you. Malcolm Turnbull turns up. Did you see that in the promo?
I did see that.
Did you just say hijinks in 2018?
There's Turnbull, there's sharks, there's who knows what else.
Oh,
sunburn, good. I imagine. Yeah. It's all happening.
Sand in places.
What a sell. And on that note, Dave Hughes, we'll see you next week.
See ya.
See
you,
Hughes.
It's cloudy.
Today.